You're listening to Beyond the Metagame, a podcast where two experienced competitive Super Smash Bros. Players look beyond the controller to analyze and break down the unspoken psychological framework of the competitive scene. Welcome, broadcasting the entirety of the Super Smash Brothers community. This is Beyond the Metagame. I'm your host, Peon, this week live from, well, right in front of you. I'm joined, as always, wonderful co-host, AV. AV, how's it going, big boy?
Wait, are we just simultaneously in front of everyone who's listening?
No, so a bit of backstory. I was playing some Animal Crossing New Horizons today. And this little like Fisher dude named CJ came to my town. I know you've been playing the game, maybe. Have you met CJ yet?
Yeah, of course. I actually just I gave him 3 sturgeon today to make a sturgeon statue.
Good man. Well, anyway, he the whole thing for people who haven't played the game is he's this like traveling fisherman who's like somehow he's like an IRL Twitch streamer or something. He like runs around. He's like, wow, my audience will really love your. And instead of esports, he calls it C sports. And anyway, he like when he first talked to me, he was like, "Hey, hello! Right now, I'm live from dot 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 right in front of you." I was like, "What the hell? He's stealing my intro! He's stealing my intro!" This CJ. So yeah. someone in Nintendo Treehouse, whoever translates the game from Japan, listens to Beyond the Metagame. I'm convinced.
Well, we'll say that every time someone says live from. Every reporter apparently steals from Beyond the Metagame, which is.
But he did a triple dot after the live from. I do the pause there. Live from? Whatever. You know, CJ is stealing my formula. That's all I'm saying.
I feel like you're more like 2 dots. Like 3 dots is. Are you a full ellipsis? Is that.
I'm happy you said that, actually, because I literally was having this conversation with my mom the other day, and I was trying to tell her that there was a word for a triple dot. I couldn't think of the word, so ellipsis. Good to know. Okay, because I would have forgotten about that.
Yeah, there you go, dude. All right, man. Animal Crossing's been really fun. I've been playing a ton of it. It's I've never been obsessed with a game this much in a long time. I think the last time is probably League of Legends or Smash in college, because it's kind of consuming my life right now.
Have you been playing every day?
Yeah, I've been playing pretty much every day.
That's pretty cool. I like Animal Crossing. It's fun, but I'm definitely not obsessed with it. Like I go in, I chill out for like 10, 20 minutes, and then I'm like, all right, I'm done. Like I don't know. I'm an action-oriented gamer. Like I like to have my heart pumping a little bit, you know? I don't really game to relax. I game to perform. You know, I think that's kind of what brings me to Smash Bros. You know, I'm just competitive. I want to beat someone. So while I like Animal Crossing a lot, it could never fill a void like a competitive title would.
Well, I think it's funny because like that's exactly the reason why I play Animal Crossing is for the competitive side of it. Is that
shut the hell up.
Is that like so all of my friends who are playing, it's like they're like rushing to complete the museum to make their islands cool and to like pimp out their house and stuff. So I'm like into like get money, so I'm like being really competitive with them, and I'm trying to complete everything before they do. So that's actually one of the huge reasons why I'm playing every day. So it's funny that you mentioned that. I guess just the competitiveness expresses itself in different ways.
That's fair. I'm just a casual Animal Crossing player, I guess. I'm like the dude who plays the items on in the Animal Crossing community. That's how they see me.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't done some serious stock market trading in Animal Crossing, you're definitely still a pleb.
So AV, funny enough, on our sister show, Beyond the Metagame. I did tell you that you would like Animal Crossing. It seems to have panned out. So I'm going to give myself a little pat on the back. But as I mentioned, our sister show, Beyond the Metagame, I would like to take a moment to suggest supporting this show, Beyond the Metagame, on Patreon. We have our costs. And AB apparently had never heard of compound interest on and I'll emphasize high interest loans. That's the last time I ever co-signed with this son of a bitch, AV. Thanks for nothing. We're in a bit of financial ruin, and my credit score is in the double digits. So go ahead. Please consider joining us on Patreon, and you'll have access to our other podcast, along with some other great goodies. But that's not all you can do, AV. You can join our Discord server. That'll be in the show notes, our website, beyondthegame.com, and elsewhere. I don't know. Ask a friend. Your friend's probably already joined. Growing community, always filled to the brim with people who are also looking to play some Smash. Everybody in there is competitively oriented and really friendly, except AV did have to ban a guy yesterday for using racial slurs, but he might have been a bot, you know? So I can't promise you it's always sunshine and roses, but it usually is. Anything to add on that, AV?
Well, now that you asked, we actually do have our quarterly, I think that's what we're going to call it, quarterly Smash Wi-Fi tournament lines up with all of, with your business quarters. So I think we're in Q2 now, right? So we have our Q2 Beyond the Metagame Wi-Fi tournament. And
because
just
why
like...
wouldn't a kids fighting game centered podcast exist in fiscal quarters?
Yeah, I mean, it's that's exactly how we're record. That's
Amy, it's 10 minutes into the show, not even, and we've already mentioned racial slurs and fiscal quarters. We're really hitting this E for everyone target audience.
This is like the E10. Forgot that exists.
Tell about the tournament. It's exciting.
Yeah, so we're going to be doing it for a charity again, just like we did last time. Last time we raised almost $1,000 for the Australian wildfires, and specifically not for the wildfires, but for the wildfire relief.
We saved the thunder down under. Okay, those ripped up Aussie loving beefcakes. Okay, we're relieved due to the BTM community. The strength, all right, those marsupial allies. Okay, those Steve Irwin doppelgangers. Okay, the good people of Australia were relieved in part by the Beyond the Metagame community. And God damn it, is that a beautiful thing?
I did hear Pion that you personally relieved one of the members from Thunder Down Under. So
yes, I did. And this time it's not going to be as sexy. Unfortunately, nothing about COVID-19 is sexy. It's in fact, it's pretty scary. It's terrible. A lot of people are without work, are without money. Are without food, which is exactly why we are going to be raising money for Feeding America's COVID-19 Response Fund. Streamlabs has partnered with Feeding America to integrate a really easy donation campaign to my Twitch channel. Well, to anyone's Twitch channel who integrates, but we're going to be running it on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/peonchop. That's where the tournament's going to be held this weekend, right? That's Sunday the 12th, right? So if you're listening to this a couple days after the podcast comes out, there's still time. So Sunday the 12th, it's going to be a lot of glory on the line. Whoever wins will have eternal glory. You're fighting for a cause, right? But if you want to send some money to this relief fund along with the entirety of the Smash community, it's a great time to do so. So again, that's Feeding America. They're specifically providing food banks and, just food, yeah, to families without the resources that they need, right, during the COVID-19. A lot of people are laid off. That's the big thing. Like, people are, you know, of course, the medical and biological aspects of it are scary, but the economic aspects of this are just as scary for so many people who aren't directly affected. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I'm excited to raise money for it.
Yeah, I'm really excited too, man. I'm also excited, going on to a different note, about what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the really famous development of the Brawl mod called Project Plus. Pion, before we jump into today's episode, do you want to give a little briefer on what we're going to get into?
Yeah, sure thing. Like AB said, today we're talking Project Plus. You've probably heard of it by now if you pay attention to any sort of Smash news. But if you haven't, we're excited to tell you about it. But it's, in short, a really, really, really fun version of Smash Bros. It is a mod, but it's free. It isn't so hard to download. And I think it's really suitable for a situation like we're in right now, where everybody's self-quarantined, because the game is very execution-heavy, which makes it very fun to, even just to play alone. Plus, it's very easy to play online with other people, so I just think it's a great time for this to have come out, and I'm super excited to cover it with you, AB.
Yep, I'm really excited too, man.
All right, guys, all that and more in just 1 second. Welcome back to the other game. This week, AV and I are here to talk about Project Plus. What the hell is it? Who is this game for? AV, you and I have both had the chance to play this game on a couple of occasions, and I think it's safe to say, I don't want to go too deep, you know, speak too deeply on your behalf, but I think it's safe to say that we both very much enjoy the game. It's been very fun to get into it, and it feels so familiar. Even if it's your first time playing Project Plus, all your experience from the rest of the Smash franchise really shows itself. Like, it's very intuitive, and I think it works well for the average Smash player.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty natural jumping into the game. It felt great. There's a lot of good, cool things about it that I want to get into. Before we do, we'll give a bit of background info on what Project M was and how Project Plus was developed. So kind of a while ago, this Brawl mod called Project M was created specifically to kind of fill this hole that people wanted around Melee HD. There's kind of this huge meme going around that we needed a remaster for Melee because it was such a good game. And Project M kind of filled that hole while adding a bunch of new characters. And it was completely community-driven. The people who developed it didn't really get anything out of it outside of just kind of developing it for the Smash community. And it went on for quite a while. Development was going on. Balance changes were going on. The meta was great. There were lots of tournaments being run for it. And then out of nowhere, development was essentially discontinued due to some issues with Nintendo, and then issues with the main people who streamed Project M. And then after that, it kind of got stuck on the version 3.6, which is the common one that was used for kind of the rest of the game's lifespan. And Project Plus, out of nowhere, kind of comes in. It has been in development for a while and expands on version 3.6 to add stages, a plethora of balance changes, bug fixes, UCF, which is Universal Control Fix, something that was developed for Melee. It allows you to properly set your C-stick to tilt. It adds knuckles, animation and move upgrades, lots of different things. So I know I've just talked your ear off for a bit, but that's what that's kind of the backstory of why this is important and why we want to talk about it today.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that context is important, maybe, because, I mean, to be clear, I have only played Project M before it became Project Plus a couple times in my life, and I never loved it. Like, honestly, I'm a big fan of Melee. Competitively, I'm more of a Smash 4 and Smash Ultimate type player. That's really when I got into the competitive scene, was through those games, right? So, this Project M is definitely more popular among Melee players, I think it's safe to say. And every time I played Project M, it felt sort of like a worse version of Melee. It felt...
Yeah.
like, it felt like a mod. You know, you could feel it. It was fun. You know, it's kind of cool. Okay, I can wave dash with Lucas. Cool. I can, you know, I can use these Brawl characters in a sort of a melee style of play. That's an awesome premise, and it was really fun, but it always kind of felt like a little unpolished or something to that effect. And in playing Project Plus, maybe it's those little changes you mentioned, like the how you can use you can customize your controls even more, like with Tilt Stick, UCF, having the controller fix is so nice. The movement, like you've gone on about in private, AV, just feels so smooth. And there are some elements of the game where you can kind of tell, okay, this is a mod. You know, like there's some really silly visuals, and like all the stages have different skins that, again, are kind of over the top and almost out of place at times. But it's kind of cool, you know, like something about it works, I think. It doesn't, you know, whereas Ultimate or Melee are more by the books, Project M, because it's a mod, it can take more risks, and I think it's interesting, at least. You know, all the different assets that they've added to the game.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. They've done, like, some really small changes, like making Bowser's neutral be a fireball instead of just a normal flame breath. They've given Charizard some new moves. They've given a nice refresh to all of the characters' costumes and animations. And it does kind of add that layer of polish that you were talking about, that Project M kind of sorely needed in its 3.6 state. And I agree. I mean, I'll agree with all of those things you spoke on my behalf about, in the sense that I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought the movement was great. It felt like I was playing a Smash game. It felt like I was able to expand on the skills that I've learned in Melee and Ultimate. And while I wasn't as explorational with characters as we'll get into, I just had so much fun playing Marth, the one character I do play in Melee and do play in Project M. I had so much fun playing Marth that it didn't even feel like I didn't even feel like I wanted to explore other characters. So yeah, we should just kind of get into I think what you really wanted to talk about was who this game is for, and like, should, if you're listening right now, should you pick up this game or should you go download it?
Yeah, no, I think that's worth doing. So when it comes to Smash games, I always like thinking about the kind of person that each of the games is for. Like Smash Ultimate, you're going to love Smash Ultimate if you love like a big roster, if you love playing advantage state and disadvantage state in neutral, really having these like puzzles to solve, always presenting your opponent with an obstacle and say, okay, if I do this, how do you respond? If you do this, how do you respond? And it's the sort of chess match per se. And games like, you know, when you're playing Smash Ultimate, for instance, the question all the time that you're asking yourself is like, okay, what should I do? You know, how should I go about doing this? If there's an Olimar throwing 18 Pikmins at me, I'm like, oh, god damn. First of all, I'm like, god damn it. But second thing is okay, I'm Cloud. Do I run up and shield? Do I try to, like, aerial the Pikmin away? You know, do I just wait for him to throw away his purple Pikmin because I'm at high percent? So then he only has, like, you know, yellow Pikmin, which aren't as lethal, you know? I don't know. Like, there's a whole bunch of little, like, strategical thoughts that I'm always having in my head when I play, but the actual execution itself isn't that hard. Like running up and up smashing as Cloud, or like doing my little slow dash dance and then unloading a limit cross slash on an Olimar isn't exactly like, you know, the most technical thing. But when you play games like Melee or Project Plus, right? The question very often isn't what should I do? It's do I have the ability to do it? Right? So
right.
The game is very much like, okay, I know what I have to do. You know, Fox is using his up B off stage as Firefox, and I'm Marth. I can run out and gimp him. I can do a forward air and then up B back to stage, clipping him with the up B and putting him in a terrible location. It's like, it's very hard to do it because the game's so fast paced and fall speed's so fast. And, you know, but if you do space it correctly, it's like, whew, you know, you get that little spike of adrenaline, that little dopamine hit. Right. And it's very much that beautiful combination of like almost like speed running a game where you're taking the game to its breaking point. And you still are thinking about those neutral interactions and advantage and disadvantage too. But on the day-to-day, on the moment-to-moment gameplay, it feels much more about, like, do I actually have the technical chops to pull off what needs to get done?
Yeah, I kind of felt that when I was playing it. It did resemble Melee in that aspect a lot. I think Melee is very similar in that aspect as well. When we were playing, I would notice a lot of the time, it's like you would call me out in neutral with like a fox down air, and then you just wouldn't have, because you haven't practiced. I don't blame you because you haven't practiced wave shine up smashes. You weren't able to convert that down air into a wave shine up smash, right? So it's just like a lot of time. Whereas an ultimate, your bread and butters like that would have been polished off in like in the training room really quickly. Whereas in P plus or even in Melee, that's a very standard Melee kill confirm. It takes a long time to get that kill confirm down.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that strangely that this style of game, this Melee style of Smash, is perhaps more conducive to solo practice. I mean, you and I did just do an episode on solo practice a couple weeks ago with Ultimate, and you know, it was worth talking about because sometimes practicing alone in Ultimate is a bit abstract. Like, if you play Bowser, you know, your bread and butters aren't exactly hieroglyphics. You know, you don't need like some sort of Rosetta Stone to decrypt what you're meant to do as Bowser. Like, you know, but outplaying your opponent is the eternal struggle, and that's what keeps the game interesting. But in games like Melee and Project Plus, you can sort of sit there against a bot, a level one bot, right, and put on some lo-fi hip hop and play for like an hour, and it's fun, you know. So just practicing tech, there's something about it that's just addicting and satisfying. And so, you know, if you're craving that sort of thing, I think Project Plus is a great little niche.
Yeah, I think it like doubles down for Melee in that aspect. Like, I think even in Melee, like, there's only so much. It's like I can do a lot in the training room, and there is like a decent amount of stuff that I can practice over and over again, but there's very much a cap. Like, there's a very definitive cap about how much I'm going to practice or whether I would gain as much from practicing alone rather than just maybe hitting someone up on net play or hitting someone up to play locally. Whereas with Project Plus, you have the ability to kind of choose how much you want to be in the training room based off of your character choice. For those that haven't played it or don't have any context on it, characters like Squirtle and Lucario were completely revamped to have probably a more developed, basically option chart than any Smash character from any Smash game, like in the entire franchise. Similarly with like Ivysaur or like Lucas or Mewtwo or Pit, it's like a lot of these characters have just been so ridiculously developed and been given so many more options that there suddenly is like so much room to just practice by yourself in training mode and so much room to just kind of figure out every single one of these options, especially with those two I mentioned at the beginning, Lucario and Squirtle. Which is, so when we talk about like who is this for the person that likes figuring out tech and likes grinding out mechanics in the game, you get to kind of vary that based off of the character that you play, which is really awesome. Whereas if you just want to kind of play the game and jump in every time and get like a Melee, a character that's very familiar from Melee and just requires fundamentals, like Marth, which is definitely me, you can do that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's like, to just to add on that in a little bit, or for a little bit, in Melee you have 8 to 10, 11 characters that are competitively viable, right? And that could be hotly debated, but for the most part, this is the general consensus. And in Project Plus, I mean, a lot of the characters have some stuff. Like, it was tenderly crafted for the competitive scene. So chances are there's going to be more than one character that suits your fantasies, unlike AV, who was only playing Marth. But for most people, I guarantee there's going to be at least a couple characters that incentivize you to practice stuff. So I think it's really fun in terms of that aspect of the game.
I played Roy. Roy's cool.
You played Roy like twice. You played Roy like twice. You played Marth like 18 times. No, like 38 times.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just liked how he moves in this game.
Did you even try Knuckles?
I have not tried Knuckles.
Come on, man. The guy, some poor sap, was like in a desk just designing Knuckles for months. Like, dude, the Smash team's going to love this, man. We'll put Knuckles in a Smash game. And then you're like, I didn't try Knuckles. Like, that. Some dude is just crying right now.
Dude, someone probably, some like Nintendo rep probably did that with Piranha Plant, and so many people probably don't touch Piranha Plant, as awesome as Piranha Plant is.
Dude, can I just say something? Every time I run into a Piranha Plant, I'm getting destroyed. In real life right now, I'm growing a jalapeno. Well, actually, it's a couple jalapenos, but they share one pot. And I feel like maybe this will abstractly familiarize myself with the Piranha Plant matchup or something. I don't know. It hasn't been working so far. I think that they're gonna die, honestly.
I think it's the wrong kind of Piranha Plant. Remember, there's like the Piranha Plants that shoot fire. Like, that one isn't in Smash, but I think that's more closely related to your jalapeno plant.
Yeah, wait, when the hell does a Piranha Plant any? I love Mario games, Xavier. I've played every Mario game that there is, I think, and I don't remember a Piranha Plant ever shooting out a poisonous cloud. That just isn't what they do. They shoot out fireballs.
Yeah, I do. I have no clue. I think it was just like very loosely taken, maybe from like some animated clip from like 2001 that was created. If you like looked at some like random part of the Nintendo website, Piranha Plant. It's canon that Piranha Plant shot poison in that video. I don't know where they took it from. If someone actually knows where they took it from, actually, we would really like to know. So tweet at us or tell us.
Why 2001? Why 2001?
I don't know. I was just choosing some old enough date that it would be ridiculous, but it's still young enough that the Mario franchise still existed.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe have you ever seen like the Mario Bros. Movie, like the motion picture?
Oh, I haven't seen it, but I mean, I've seen a lot of clips from it.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I wonder if there's any. I haven't seen it since I was like, maybe it wasn't 2001 when I last watched it, but maybe there was like some deep cut poisonous Piranha Plant in there. I don't know.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure Bowser is just like a man in a costume in that movie. I'm pretty sure he's just like a dude.
Wait, it's isn't hilarious. Everyone just a dude? Everyone's just a
yeah.
Dude.
I think there's like Goombas that are just men. I think. Yeah. Pretty sure. All right, but anyway, you haven't tried Knuckles. I won't hold it against you. I've tried Knuckles. Let's just take some time to talk about it. You've played against my Knuckles. He's really fun, and he feels very true. I don't know if you've ever played Sonic Adventure 2, AB, or the OG Sonic Adventure. You played Knuckles 2, and a lot of his gameplay was, you'd fly around, you climb up stuff, you'd be digging in the ground for the Master Emerald. That's kind of what his gameplay is here. His side B glides around, and he actually latches on to the side of stages if you side B into the wall, which is a pretty cool little recovery mix-up. And he's sort of like if you made Sonic cool, which I guess Knuckles has always been, honestly, in every game. But, you know, his down B is similar to Sonic's, but in general, he's kind of like he reminds me of a mix between Sonic and, like, Dr. Mario, I would say, where he's got some beef. He's a little hunky. He throws. He doesn't have like a ton of range, but his moves hit hard, and he's kind of slow. But he's a weird combination of fast and slow. And all in all, he's pretty fun. Like I really hope that Nintendo is inspired by that if they ever add Knuckles to a proper Smash game, because his design is pretty sick.
Yeah, I was really happy with what I saw from both the reveal trailer and you playing Knuckles against me. It's
not happy enough to try yourself.
Yeah, but I think he's really cool. I mean, there's obviously a little more polish that'd be required maybe to port it over into a Nintendo stamped game. But there's so many cool mechanics. There's so many cool mechanics that I really liked. I think the dig mechanic's really cool. It seems a little risky sometimes. Like it takes a while for him to come up from under the stage. Also, your tag follows you around, so you always know.
Like if you want to have custom controls, you have to like use a tag, you know. And then so, in Knuckles, he buries himself into the ground, like Diglett, right? And he slides around, but yeah, like your tag just shows through the stage. It was like you have no element of surprise whatsoever. And yeah, some of his moves seem a little dorky, like his dash attack and his nair. His nair looks really dumb. Like I'll be honest, it's like a classic sort of sex kick style nair. Like
oh wait. Before we go on, what does sex kick even mean? Like I hear this like phrase tossed around all the time in the Smash community, and it's like a lingering nair that just kind of where you just kind of put your foot out there. What why is that a sex kick? Wait, who invented this term?
AV, didn't your people write the Karma Sutra? Like, shouldn't you of all people know this maneuver?
Yes, of course. In chapter 3, article 5, which I know by heart.
Usually when I have sex, there's no articles at all. They've all been stripped. They're now lacing the floor. Suddenly there's a chain that's being bound around my body. I am suspended, not from school, but from the ceiling. And I go, and that's when I deploy the sex kick. Boom. The sex kick, what is it really? It's pleasure, sex, pain inflicted by kicks. That's why maybe that's what's drawn me to Knuckles. No, but his sex kick was,
his sex that kick, went on like 5 seconds
but anyway, his sex kick, it looks a little limp. Like I don't want to keep using sexual analogies at this point, but it looks like it's sort of hanging off to the side. Like it's really awkwardly animated, but to be expected, right? It's a mod. I don't pretend to understand how Project Plus is made on a technical level, but clearly I imagine it's easier to use the pre-existing animations that are in the game than to totally make new ones from scratch and put them into a game, right? So it looks a little dorky, but all in all, he feels like 90% of a character. Like he doesn't feel as solid as like Mario, you know. Like you can kind of tell he's a modded character, I'll be honest, but he's still fun. Like I enjoyed playing him.
Yeah, he seems really cool. I think something that would really just polish it out. I think polish every character out is just adding nicer hit effects. Right now, like a lot of the, I think that's something that Ultimate did really well, which is kind of the effects when you get hit. That kind of really draws the definitive line between a polished AAA game and a community mod, which is just these kind of really small things that just make the game look finished. But outside of that, I think there's a lot in it for pretty much anyone.
Let me elaborate on that. Totally agree with you about the polish and the lack of polish, especially the actual gameplay, like the menus and stuff. Look pretty snazzy in game. You're right, like Ultimate spoils you, dude. After playing Ultimate for a while, I think Melee isn't super polished, but it's very refined, right? There's nothing added, there's no excess. Like everything that's in there looks solid and it looks nice. But in Project M, they add a lot of flashy stuff, and it doesn't have the same sort of structural integrity. Like it's sort of, it feels like a mod, right? It doesn't have that polish of when you hit someone, it just doesn't look how 100% like you think it would. Ultimate, on the other hand, is like the best of both worlds. It's refined and polished. It's sexy, right? You want to show her to mom and dad, but you also want to show her to your bedroom, right? And you want to, you know, pick a fence, get a golden retriever, adopt it, name it after her favorite author. Maybe it's E.B. White. Maybe it's Tolkien. Maybe it's Chomsky. Who knows? But what was I talking about? Something about Ultimate's polish.
You're talking about how you want to show Ultimate to your parents. You want to show it off. It's a good right. game that you can be proud of playing and admiring. So yeah, which like I agree.
The common phrase, right? The devil's in the details. Ultimate as a game, the little things feel so good. The smoke. The little hit, the little freezy frame at the very end of the, you know, just the way the characters react to getting hit, their facial expressions, all those little tiny things that immerse you into the game that just make a game feel good, right? The intangibles. Project Plus doesn't have, I'll be honest, but the actual meat and potatoes, the core of it, the kinetic combo-based, hit-stun-based gameplay is there, right? And while what it lacks in polish, it makes up for, in my opinion, in creativity, in variety of visual features and music and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think there's so many things to explore, especially in the you can take your melee mechanics, Subspace Emissary. You can take any of the newly refurbished characters to classic mode. There's lots of new features in Special Smash. You can like have one of your friends be like a boss, and the other three have to beat the boss. It's like there's lots of really small additions to the game. So it's not just, and I believe they've like upgraded like Break the Targets and all kinds of stuff. So it's not only something that you would experience just as like a competitive multiplayer thing, but it's also really fun to kind of play on your own, which is something that, in my opinion, has been lacking from the Smash series in the last two iterations very sorely.
Yeah. Dude, honestly, I played the classic mode today a little bit just to sort of, you know, do some research before the episode, and it's fun. The classic mode of old is honestly really great. And, you know, the computers in this game, maybe, the computers are nuts. Like, I was up against this metal Bowser, right? In classic mode. And I played on the insane difficulty, the hardest difficulty. I'm like, look, I mean, I have a Smash podcast. Give me the hardest difficulty. That was a mistake, AB. That shit was hard. This metal Bowser was like wave landing around, and he was just comboing me, and I couldn't get him off the stage. And I eventually got him, but it's just because he like SD. And then I played against Team Wolf, and it was like nine wolves. You know how, you know, you just fight. Yeah. That's a classic trope in the Smash games, right? All the CPUs spawn at the same time, and you know you have to kill all of them. And the wolves were eating me alive, dude. They were eating me alive. I was playing with three stocks. I needed all three of my stocks to kill all the wolves. It took me like three tries. I was like, man, this is kind of rough.
Having a pack of wolves feels that feels very thematically on point. So
yeah,
they get kind of powered up. I think that's why. That's why you only get the wolf pack on insane difficulty. That'd be a nice touch.
But no, it was fun, man. Like, that's the thing. Like, the single player in Ultimate, while I think it has its strengths, I don't think it's regardless one of the best. So there's no event matches or anything like that. Brawl did have that stuff, and therefore Project Plus does. And it's cool. It's honestly really fun. And of course, you have Subspace Emissary, which I've been on record saying isn't very fun. But if you have nostalgia for it and you did like it, you know, now you can do so with a whole different sandbox, whole different, so you know, that's cool. So you know, there's a lot to the game, and it's free, AB. And I think we should mention, we'll actually put a little Discord channel in there. I'll do it myself, AB, in the Discord to show you how you can download it. I mean, AB and I aren't going to be distributing ROMs or anything like that. because I think that puts
right. It's not free. So our official stance on this is that you need to have. Right, yeah, we're not. It's that it's not free. You have to have a. You have to privately own a purchased copy of the Super Smash Brothers Brawl ROM. So so that
Project Plus is free.
Yes, Project Project Plus. However, you decide to get it, which which there is one way if you that we will be able to post in the Discord, but that is absolutely free.
Okay. Wow, Ivy, are you like Bill Clinton's press secretary? That was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, after I got us into this extremely high interest loan, I've actually started reading all the fine print for once. And I also took sixth grade math recently, so I learned what compound interest was as well. So,
oh wow, wow, that's awesome! Yeah.
So, I got your back. I got your back.
Thank you, covering all our bases. Okay, cool. So yeah, I mean, I don't really have much else to say on Project Plus. Let's do our closing thoughts. So you and I played the game. We think it's fun. We're recommending it, at least for the people who are interested in a more execution-mannered game. Right? Like, you give it two thumbs up, right?
Yeah, I would. It was genuinely fun to play, and I haven't really had this much fun with PM in the past. I think it's probably because UCF wasn't a thing, and my movement didn't feel as crisp, but everything that I want to do, it's like... The way that I describe it is that in Melee, your controller limits you a lot with like dashback and shield dropping not working as you expected sometimes. So sometimes you're literally dependent on having a perfect controller to have perfect movement. And it's weird. Like I go into Project Plus and everything that I want to do, everything that I'd want to do in Melee just kind of comes out properly. And there's probably a lot of small fixes that went into doing that. But making execution work exactly how you expect it is such a huge thing. It just makes you feel like proud of like the time that you put in to for execution. So that is primarily why I kept playing Marth over and over again, because I'm just like, holy crap, I'm doing all these things and that would have maybe flubbed like 20% of the time or 30% of the time in Melee, but everything's coming out like 100% of the time in P+. So that's a lot of fun to see.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah, I'm with you. I really like playing Fox. The game feels crisp. It feels a little bit like Melee on easy mode. Not on a tremendous easy mode, but like you said, having that controller fix and it just kind of having some other polish in general makes it feel real nice. If you ever wanted to get into Melee long term, I think this is a really great liaison. It's a really great middle step in order to get there. But I think by itself, by its own merit, is a really fun thing to just check out if you're interested and you're a Smash fan. I'm into it. If you're into it, I'm into you. I'm into unspeakable things that I won't mention. And I'm glad that we talked about it. But AV, I think it is time for some questions. That's right. You, the listener, can ask AV and I some questions through our Discord. There's a channel called Podcast-Questions. And AB, the first one this week comes from Wes Chester. Wes Chester asks, if new color scheme /outfits/echoes came out for all the characters, what would you want your favorites to get? AB has to pick something other than Funky Kong.
This is so unfair. Why do I have to pick something else other than Funky Kong? Because... That's honest. Okay, so here's what I think I'd want. So something, this is very topical because this is something that Project Plus does extremely well, is new costumes. Like maybe you throw a tie onto DK, maybe have somewhere like DK has like a set of bongos or a leather jacket or like shades, just like kind of nice thematic thematic upgrades to some of the normal costumes. Maybe make like DK not naked all the time. I know in Project Plus he puts on boxing gloves at some point.
Yeah, those are sick.
Yeah, those are always fun to see. I think if you want to see what I would want other than Funky Kong, really Funky Kong as an echo is what I'd want more than anything else. But if you want to see what I think is an amazing execution of this, check out P Plus. There's like 15 costumes for every character. There's secret costumes, I think, for some characters. So that's another great reason, purely for the aesthetics, to check out the mod.
Yeah, I'd be into Dixie Kong being an echo of Diddy Kong. For a long time, I've wanted Dixie Kong as a playable character because I think she's dope. She plays an electric guitar, AV.
Yeah.
An electric guitar. She spins around on her with her hair like a helicopter, right? What's not to like? I think that could work as an echo for Diddy. There might have to be a couple, like, sort of like Crom to Roy, a couple different changes to make them function. But, you know, in terms of, like, alts, in a pure alt sense, I think it'd be dope if, for Pokemon Trainer, you could make the Squirtle have the Squirtle Squad sunglasses from the Pokemon anime. That was one of my favorite episodes as a kid, so I've always liked the idea of a Squirtle rocking some Stunner shades, some aviators, just strolling, you know. I don't know what you would do for Charizard and Ivysaur. You could just pimp them out in various ways, I don't know. Give Ivysaur a little flower in her hair. Give Charizard, like, some sweet spikes, some metal spikes, like in PM. I'm into it. But yeah, I think that's all I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah.
AV, I wouldn't mind seeing you in an outfit, like maybe like some latex.
No. That's I wish I was allergic to latex, just so I didn't have to even consider that possibility. But all right, we got our second question. Dude, you really need to cool it off today. What's going on with you?
I don't know what's wrong with me.
We got our second question from Carlington, who says, "Hey Pion and AV, I'm Carlington and I'm a 14-year-old." Okay.
Oh great.
I'm so sorry, Carlington. This is so bad.
Carlington, what? Close. I'm sorry.
I'm Carlington, and I have a 14-year-old Smasher in a small Smash scene that's in Maui that doesn't get many locals. I'm doing decent, getting 7th out of 16 people in locals. That said, how do you practice on free time? My island's main basketball season is ending soon, and I want to practice more on my two-month break till another tournament happens on the island. Should I ask people in my scene's Discord if I can play them somewhere online? Should I grind friendlies at tournaments? I'm not sure what I should do. And if I feel like I don't practice against people more and play against level 9 CPUs all the time, I might just end up like Mewtwo King in his early career. I feel like I have a chance to be one of the best on the island, but the only thing holding me back is practice."
Carlington, first off, I apologize for destroying the ignorance, the blissful ignorance of youth over these 5 seasons. That's my bad. That said, gotta love Maui. First of all, you're in the right place. I don't know if you're in the right place for Smash. Never been there for Smash, but I did eat a burger there once at a place called Burger in Paradise. You go up these little stairs, and then you have this little shack. That place is delicious, Carlington. You have to tell me if you've eaten there too. That'd be funny because I ate there when I was 14. Actually,
now that you went to Maui, and all you remember is a cheeseburger. It must have been like the best cheeseburger ever.
It's worth. I mean, I'm 20. I'm almost 24, so it's almost been 10 years. So, and I still remember this burger. So, Carlington, you have to tell me if you've been there, as it was dank. You said, how do you practice on free time? So, I love talking about practice. You're in a situation, right? Your basketball season is ending soon, and you want to practice more in this 2-month break, right? And I think that this is where champions are made, AB. I think these little 1-month, 2-month spurts to refresh yourself on the game are really some of the biggest times of improvement. You see this sort of trend happening in Smash, AB. I know you're privy to it. We've talked about it on the show, where sometimes people take like a month off, they'll take 2 months off. They'll come back to the game, and suddenly they're no longer in whatever plateau they were in before they stopped. You know, their mind has gotten a chance to take a break, and suddenly they're allowed to recontextualize all their habits and gameplay, and suddenly it's really fun again to play because you've taken that little break. So first of all, Carlington, I would say enjoy your time off from the game. Shoot some hoops. Maybe go surfing on those Maui beaches, right? But what I would recommend to supplement, you know, the practice in the meantime is, yeah, invite some friends over. I don't know if you're the youngest person in your scene and if your parents would be cool with having someone come over to your house and play with you. If that is an option, I would say go for it. If you have someone your age who's also like in high school or in middle school, I don't know if you're like 14, 8th grade or 14, freshman in high school, definitely try to link up and play in person. Playing with people from your locals in person and sort of smash fests is very, very, very good for leveling you up once you go back to tournaments. So I would say, yeah, establish a couple practice partners that you can play with in the meantime and really get in a habit, maybe meet every couple of weeks, have a day, maybe it's Saturday afternoon, you guys play, and you have some goals in mind going into those Smash Fests, like learning a matchup, practicing a certain character, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you really covered it. Why don't you fire up that last question?
Sure thing. Last one comes from Logs. And Logs asks, I have this feeling of wanting to give up / self-deprecation whenever I am losing a significant amount. How can I avoid this and push it out of my mind when I'm playing so I can focus and try to bring the game back?
So, Logs, there's one thing that I really suggest that you do, and it's something that I see all the time that people are not doing, is don't give up in your friendlies. Because the where you figure out how to get back from massive deficits and how to make crazy plays that bring you back are through your friendlies. A lot of times I see people just giving up or throwing away their stocks or LRA starting when they're two or three stocks down in melee or even P plus, and they're just kind of giving up. This is a huge problem because when you're really down, you have to make crazy plays and you have to make really long strings of advantage work out for you. And this is where a lot of like connections are developed in terms of like pulling out methods or techniques that you haven't really used before. It's kind of where your brain just says, okay, we need to just use everything that we have on file. And those moments are really good for practicing it when it comes down to the nitty gritty and you're doing it in tournament. When it comes to crunch time and it comes to the actual execution of it in tournament, it's like sometimes you're on and sometimes you're off. Pulling off comebacks are always going to be against your favor. It's always something that's a very low probability chance, especially if it's like a one or two stock comeback. Unless the skill discrepancy is really high and you kind of just threw away a few stocks, it's always going to be fairly difficult to do. That said, it just takes being able to understand how to make the most out of your advantage states and how to basically capitalize on reads with extremely powerful plays that you kind of just swing as hard as humanly possible sometimes. And those moments and those setups that you learn where you get to swing as hard as humanly possible, you can only do them confidently if you've done it in training mode first. So I'd recommend kind of figuring it out there. And then if you still feel like you like the self-deprecation shows up and the wanting to give up shows up in tournament, that may just be a mental block that you'll have to very, very directly work on.
Yeah, Logs, just to add on that, AB, I think that another part of it is if you're feeling really depressed mid-match because you're losing, it's because you're playing to win, right? If losing is pissing you off, it's because you want to win, right? And obviously you want to win, right? We're all competitive. We're all playing a competitive game. But you have to recontextualize, if this happens to you a lot, you have to recontextualize what you're doing, right? My solution for you is you are not trying to win anymore. When you play in tournament, you're no longer a winner. You're a smasher. You're going into that set to play some dope Smash Bros, to do some cool things, to outplay your opponent. You might lose. You might get two stocked. You might get three stocked, right? But you're going to do some cool stuff. You're going to hit your conversions. You're going to make some reads. You're going to make your opponent adapt to beat you. Look, maybe you lost your first two stocks, SD twice in a row. Well, guess what? that last stock's going to be hard for them to take. You're going to hit them with more mental obstacles than they've ever had to encounter before, right? That's how you have to think about the game. If you want to be clutch, if you want to win games from behind without being depressed, you have to play for the right reasons.
Yeah, AB, I love that. I think that's super cool. I think you answered it as well as you possibly could have. And I think the only thing that anyone could ever add onto that is what sports psych Steve said when he came on the show, which is when he talked about the kinds of thoughts that come through your head while you're playing in tournament, basically making sure to filter out what are productive thoughts and maybe what are just there to kind of cloud your headspace.
Yeah. Beautiful. All right, AV, well, that's all the time we have for this week. Guys, thank you so much for listening. AV, before we head out, where can people find you, my friend?
People or other creatures, your dog, can find me on Twitter at avaidyanatha. That's A plus my long Indian last name. Now, I know Peon, even though we've been friends for 5 years, still probably doesn't know my last name.
Don't know it.
Yeah, and I don't expect you to. I really don't expect you to. But where you can find out how my first initial and last name is spelled, you can go over to our podcast Twitter. Now, Peon, I've heard that you know where our podcast Twitter is.
I do, AV. That is at Beyond Metagame. That's right, at Beyond Metagame. The podcast you're currently listening to is called Beyond the Metagame, right? But Twitter does not give a damn. No. That said, you can find me personally at Peon_BTM. That's right. Peon_BTM for all of you serpents. Looking at you, nice. AB. You snake. You slithering beast. You deceiver. Guys, before we head out, I do want to remind you once more, this 12th, right? This upcoming Sunday, April the 12th, 3 p.m. Pacific time, is the Beyond the Metagame Wi-Fi tournament. It's going to be a lot of fun. Sign up in the Discord. Details will be there. AV will have that all set up. He's kind of the best TO of all time. It's going to be a lot of great fun. We're going to be raising money again for a really great cause. That's Feeding America and their COVID-19 Response Fund. It's going to be really cool. I'm excited for it. I always love this stuff, AV, because you really get to see who has been improving, who's been working. We have tournaments every couple of months, and it seems like each time the results are very varied, right? So it's cool. I'm excited to see what you guys have been working on, and that'll again be on twitch.tv/peonchop, and we'll be streaming that this Sunday the 12th. Guys, yeah, as always, thank you for listening. Goodbye. This week's episode was made in part due to the support of our patrons: BK Otto, Robiert, Ultimate, Danderson, Weasel, Pariah Sensei, Ringo, Shaq Pernicus, Two Tacos, Big Tim, Campbell Soups, Cerebro, Beam Guy, Fancy, Bart Daly, Ferris, Hydra, Kyle the Hero, Lakatoon, Minlo, and Trebek.